Greetings and welcome to the Joshua Jenkins program. Thanks for tuning in. I know it's been a while since I've last recorded an episode, but really you have to thank my friend Keith Walton. He, whether he meant to or not, encouraged me essentially to keep making episodes. So even if Keith is the only one who ever listens, then it is worth it to me. Keith is a longtime friend of mine. In fact, I say that he is the first friend that I ever made in school. We went to school together from kindergarten on up until middle school or so, when I moved to a different school and moved to a different state. But from kindergarten to seventh grade, and very best of friends, and though we live an hour or two or more apart now, don't see each other very often, we keep in touch just enough. And anyway, you guys, if you're not Keith, don't really care to hear that. But anyway, this episode probably won't be very long, but just wanted to talk about the ongoing raging debate of abortion. And recently, this debate has been reinvigorated with a bill, I guess, that the state of Alabama passed. I don't know really much anything about what's in the bill or the exact language or anything like that. I haven't read it or really read much about it. I just know that it's apparently adds more restrictions upon abortions. People are calling it an abortion ban, but that can't be the case because there are exceptions I've at least seen elsewhere. Anyway, regardless, it has reinvigorated the debate on social media, particularly Twitter, particularly. And really, I guess the law I am in favor, as I believe, is consistent with the biblical teaching that abortion is murder, and so therefore I'm in favor of total ban, no exceptions whatsoever. Murderers should be put to death, and the state should absolutely nullify, as they have every right to do so, Roe v. Wade, and say, no, it's murder, we're treating it as such. I am an abolitionist, but at the same time, I am grateful for whenever it just gets a little less bad, but still bad. Anyway, even though it's not a complete abolitionist bill, it at least does some damage, because even professed pro-life people have been, some of them anyway, have been talking about how it's a little too extreme for them, which of course reveals they're not really pro-life. But anyway, so as this debate was reinvigorated over all this issue, let's see, I guess it was May 15th, which was, I'm losing track of my days here, either yesterday or the day before. Either way, a guy named C.J. Pearson, who is a conservative guy on Twitter, I don't follow him, but he pops up into my feed a lot because people like his tweets or retweet him. But he's a political conservative tweeter and calls himself pro-life. But he made this tweet the other night that I took issue with. And I'll read this tweet to you from at the C.J. Pearson, P-E-A-R. S-O-N. He says this: no woman should be forced to have the child of her rapist. My pro-life stance is rooted in my belief that one is responsible for the choices they make. However, rape is no one's choice. And that's the end of the tweet. Now, as I mentioned a moment ago, I am a complete abolitionist in terms of abortion because that's the biblically consistent stance to take. And he obviously is not. He believes there should at least be an exception for rape, that he says if a woman becomes pregnant because of a rape, then she shouldn't have to carry the baby to term, which means, that's very soft and soft language, but what that means, what he's saying is, we should be allowed to murder babies because they were conceived in rape. And I just do not see how that is consistent with the pro-life position, that abortion is wrong because it is murder. In fact, I know that it is not consistent with that position. A child ought not to be forced to die. A child ought not to be forcibly put to death because of the crimes and sins of their father. That's the real way that that ought to be worded. And he, I'm sure he pacifies his conscience by wording it in such a way that you don't feel the sting of what is the truth behind the actual statement. But the real thing I wanted to bring up and mention is the second part of that tweet where he says, my pro-life stance is rooted in my belief that one is responsible for the choices they make. Okay, interesting. My pro-life stance is rooted in my belief. That is the problem. That's the problem. His stance that babies conceived because of rape should be murdered and put to death because it inconveniences the mother and leaves bad memories. His stance that babies should be murdered because of the crimes and sins of their father is rooted in his belief. In other words, in his personal opinion. So what's the standard for his, and many others just like, I'm not just picking on him, I'm sure he's, I agree with him probably on a decent amount of things, politically speaking, but he is woefully wrong here. But when he roots his stance in his belief, which we could say is his personal opinion, what makes... So what I was going to say, my mind went crazy. What I was going to say a second ago was, in other words, his standard for what's right and wrong is his belief. In other words, his standard is his personal opinion. Now, why should we listen to that? Why do I care what his personal opinion is? Why should anybody care? Why should anybody care what my personal opinion is? Personal opinions are not an adequate standard for moral belief. What makes his personal belief or personal opinion better than mine? What makes his personal belief better than the next person's? That's the problem with his argumentation, and that's why he gets to this view that he gets to, where he brings in the exception of rape. Because his stance is not rooted in a higher transcendent authority, but it's rooted in his personal opinion. See, for Christians, when it comes to being pro-life, we cannot let our pro-life stance be co-opted by political conservatives. Although we share a lot, they borrow a lot from our worldview, we must be explicitly Christian. As Christians, we must be explicitly Christian when it comes to being pro-life. You see, our pro-life stance is not rooted in our belief. It's not rooted in our personal opinion. It is rooted in the unchanging, eternal standard of God's Word. The eternal, transcendent standard of God's moral law. That is what our pro-life stance must be rooted in. If we root it in our opinion or our belief or what we think is right, okay, who cares? Why is our opinion better than the next person's? Our opinions don't matter. What matters is God's ultimate authority. So as Christians, our standard when we talk about being pro-life, our standard must be God's word. Otherwise, we have no basis to say that anybody should listen to us over the next person. But if everyone around us is yelling out their own personal beliefs and opinions, and we stand up and say, I don't want to just give you my opinion like everybody else is doing, but I want to give you God's word, which is a authority that is higher than any one of us and is binding on every single person everywhere, now we can speak with authority, if that's where we're coming from. So anyway, I hope that makes sense, and I hope that's not coming out jumbled. But I hope I spoke that very clearly. And like I said, this one's going to be a little bit short. But thank you for listening, and have a good night.